We continue our spotlight here on WGN on people living with Alzheimer's and our day-long special today about the fight to end Alzheimer's, sponsored by Alzheimer's Association Illinois Chapter. Melissa Tucker is joining us. She's the Director of Family Services for the Alzheimer's Association, the Illinois Chapter. And Brian Gaughan is also with us. He's an early stage advisor, someone living with Alzheimer's. Thank you both for being with us. This is an important topic. And Melissa, I just want to ask you this. I don't know if it's because I know several people recently in my life who have been diagnosed, or if I'm hearing about more people who are, you know, generally just friends of friends and things like that being diagnosed. I wonder, are cases on the rise? Is diagnosis getting better? What are you seeing as you look at the sheer numbers of people dealing with Alzheimer's?
Hi, thank you. And we're so happy to be here today with you. I think that we're seeing a couple of things. I do think that as awareness is increasing, people are getting to the doctor sooner and they're getting that diagnosis. There's more awareness of it. I think there's a little bit less stigma about talking about memory loss. So that may be part of it. Another thing is that during the whole COVID shutdown, you know, a lot of neurologists weren't seeing patients. They were assigned to COVID type hospital situations. So there was kind of a shutdown of people getting diagnosed at all. So we may be seeing more people getting diagnosed. And we're seeing the same thing, too. The clinicians at the Illinois Chapter, we're seeing more people who have been recently diagnosed.
When dealing with it in finding, trying to detect it early on, which I know can be a challenge, sometimes people say, oh, he's just forgetful, or she's, you know, she's getting old. What is the difference and what are the signs to watch out for when it comes to memory loss and potential early stages of Alzheimer's?
That's a great question. The real difference is that, you know, we all have little bits of memory loss, like we forget where our keys are, we forgot we have an appointment, but a concerning memory loss is something that's disrupting your daily life. So if you or someone that you love is having difficulty doing things that were familiar to them in the past, they're forgetting how to cook something where they didn't need a recipe before, or they're getting lost. It's actually disrupting daily life. It's not just an occasional bit of forgetfulness. Then that's a memory loss that they want to discuss with their doctor, and that's very important. If anybody's concerned about memory loss in themselves or somebody else, the first thing that they should be doing is discussing that with their doctor. And if people want to see, we have a great thing on our website, ALZ.org. Just go on there and look for the 10 warning signs, and that's going to really walk you through the difference between the normal forgetfulness that all of us experience and something that might be concerning.
I want to ask you about potential cures. We hear about a lot of excitement, it seems, in the pharmaceutical world that maybe on the horizon there is help on the way. Can you bring us up to speed on what you know about, Melissa, when it comes to potential treatments or help for those who are dealing with Alzheimer's?
Right. Well, of course, you know, we've just seen the FDA approval of Aduhelm, which we're very excited about. And that's that unfortunately is not a cure, but it does seem to be something that's for the first time addressing the underlying biology of the disease. So what that does is it reduces the amyloid plaques. And that's what we're all very hopeful about, is that that's going to result in a slowing of the disease in the brain, which is not something we've seen before. We haven't had a truly disease-modifying treatment before. So that is what, you know, we all want to see happen. That's, of course, our mission and our vision is a world without Alzheimer's disease. And this certainly appears to be a very important step in that direction.
Yeah, you hope so. It's providing a lot of hope. It seems that there is a lot of research in this area. Would you say that that's the case?
Oh, yes. Yes, there's a tremendous amount of research. And, of course, the Alzheimer's Association, we're very involved in that. We're the world's largest non-governmental funder of research. We have a lot of very important conferences, an international conference, and there's just more and more going on about what we're looking into and what we're trying to see in terms of drug treatment, things that we can do for care and support, the things that might lead to Alzheimer's disease. There's a tremendous amount of activity around all of that.
That's interesting stuff. Brian Gaughan, I want to ask you, you're an early stage advisor. You are currently living with early stage Alzheimer's yourself. I want to ask you what you wish people knew about those dealing with Alzheimer's. Can I get you to answer that, though, in just a minute here? We have to pause for a moment, Brian, and I want to ask you that question.
Sure.
Thank you. Brian Gaughan is with the Alzheimer's Foundation. Melissa Tucker is the Alzheimer's Association of Illinois, and we're going to speak with them both in a moment here. You're the father of 8 and a grandfather of 14. Brian, when were you diagnosed with Alzheimer's?
I was diagnosed in 2020. Initially, I was diagnosed with something they call mild cognitive disorder, just like a precursor to the Alzheimer's, and now I'm at an early onset stage. And that was after several years of trying to figure out what was going on.
What did you think was going on?
I really didn't know. I really didn't know. I started noticing some things where I would forget common things that a lot of people in their 50s would forget. So I didn't put too much thought into it. But I worked downtown in Loop, and I would more times than not take public transportation. So I would take a train and a couple of buses. And after years of doing that, I found myself getting on wrong buses. I'd be on the wrong train. I'd look out the window and I'd be like, I don't have a clue where I'm at. Like, what station is this? And I would make excuses for that, though. I would tell myself, well, I was engrossed with thinking about this or work or something. And I would make excuses. But then it got to be more and more where I knew something was wrong. But I didn't want to believe it. So I made an appointment with the doctor for a physical, and he went through a list, which is like pretty common at a physical. A doctor will ask, do you have any mm-hmm. trouble sleeping? Do you have any problems breathing? Do you have any problems with your intestinal tract? They ask those standard questions,
sure.
And they don't ask, do you have any cognitive deficits that you're aware of? So they didn't ask that. But at the end, he said, do you have anything you'd like to... like to ask or anything that concerns you? And I said, well, I'm really, really forgetful. Like, I'm really forgetting a lot of things. And he just kind of chuckled and said, yeah, it's stuff getting old. I'm the same boat as you. And okay, well, we'll get this paperwork. And I should have. And I'm not faulting the doctor here at all, because that's just what they do. And I really, pretty much for myself, I should have said, no, doc, it's not like I don't remember where I put my keys. It's like I'm in my neighborhood and I don't know what street I should be turning on. I don't know where that's at sometimes. But I didn't. Like, I used his blowing it off as validity that there's nothing wrong with me. I knew there was nothing wrong with me. But it continued to worsen, and then it continued to worsen, and about a year later, I went to another physician for a physical. And again, the same thing, the same list. But this time when he said, do you have anything that concerns you? I said, yeah, I really have strong concerns about my memory. And he immediately jumped on it and said, all right, we're going to do this. We're going to send you for a scan. We're going to get, he really, really got on it. And so what I would urge listeners to do is if you see those symptoms of something like that or similar, don't try to convince yourself that it might not be an issue, because it might not be an issue, but at least go and talk to your physician about it and let them run some tests on you to see if there is something going on. And, unfortunately, there's no cure for it, but the benefit of people doing that, the big, big benefit of that is if it's caught when it's early, at least it gives you a period of time to take care of things and get things in order and do things that you want to do that you're planning on doing, 5 years, 10 years down the road, because the clock is ticking and you know it. So you might as well take advantage of the time when you are still cognitively aware to take care of your things and plan for the future, because you know what the future is going to bring. And so at least when you catch it early, you can plan for it. And that's just a huge benefit, not just for the person affected with Alzheimer's, but for their family, their friends, their acquaintances, everybody. Yes.
Yeah. Brian, I know you're an early stage advisor to folks who have been recently diagnosed with the early stages of Alzheimer's. What do you wish people knew about those who are living with Alzheimer's? What do you wish we knew?
I do chuckle when people become aware that I have Alzheimer's, though they will almost want to debate it. Like they'll say, "You don't have Alzheimer's." And, oh, yeah, I do. I got diagnosed. And I go, "No, man, you talk regular and, you know, you do normal things and you drive your car." And
right.
I don't know. I guess everybody has envisioned in their head a picture of someone affected with Alzheimer's as being in their 80s or 90s and they're curled up in a fetal position under a blanket in a nursing home, mm-hmm. and they don't know anybody. Like they don't realize that it doesn't just happen and you're at that stage. It's like it's a progression, and the beginning stages, you know, it's not very obvious to someone on the outside.
Yeah.
To the people will say, "Oh, you should go to another doctor. I don't think you have Alzheimer's." Like, and I think, like, if someone, nobody would ever say, "Oh, I found out I have cancer." People wouldn't say, "You don't look like you have cancer. You should go to another doctor. I think he's wrong."
Yeah, you're right. It's not really the time and place to debate it. If you're making that admission, I would say in some cases that must feel like a courageous moment for some to actually have to say that and be judged for that or be worried about being judged. You have your big family, father of eight, grandkids 14.
15
is everybody
now.
Support 15? I'm sorry. Let me update the notes here.
Yeah.
Growing family here, Brian. Are they all supportive of you? Are they figuring it out?
Very, very much so. So many people in my family are in the healthcare field, so they kind of have a grasp of what it is.
Good.
And what's going on with it.
Yeah. I just thank you for sharing your story. It does put a face on what people deal with in the early stages and some of the struggles, and it's, you know, we all just hope and pray that some of these breakthroughs are really going to make a difference. It feels like, you know, there's a lot of work there, Melissa, working toward treatments and even a cure, and it gives us hope.
Yes, mm-hmm. That is true.
Melissa, there's something also we wanted to promote. There's a walk Saturday, October 9th at Soldier Field, right?
That is right. The walk to end Alzheimer's disease. We don't just fund research. We also provide a lot of care and support to people. We have a 24-hour helpline. We have support groups and education programs. We do advocacy for people, for anybody in the Chicago area who wants to come out and support that. The walk is a wonderful event. It's a lot of fun. It raises awareness. One of the things that we battle with Alzheimer's disease and other dementias is stigma. And to be in a huge crowd of people who are all impacted by this, I think is very empowering. I think it's sure. I think it's just helpful to people to be there. So by all means, everybody come on out and support that walk.
Saturday, October 9th, Soldier Field. And do you have to register in advance or can you show up?
Well, we are asking people to register in advance because we're trying to be socially distanced and not, you know, have to pass around clipboards or fill out things and hand people pens. So if people do need to register, they'll be able to do that, you know, with a thing on their phone, that QR code. But
We
make it easy for you. Yeah, you can register online. You can call our helpline at 1-800-272-3900 and we will get you registered.
ALZ.org is a website I have. Is that a good one? ALZ.org.
That is the one. That's where everything is. There's a wealth of information on that.
Well, it's awesome what you're all doing. It's important work, and we just hope for breakthroughs in the future. And Brian, thank you for sharing your story with us and our listeners too. We really appreciate you and wish you nothing but the best in your future.
Sure, thank you very much.
Thank you for the time. Thanks, Melissa. Appreciate you too.
Thank you.